Alex, what's it like in Kentucky?
You want to walk outside and put a bathing suit on. It's so humid. And I hate damp chicken.
Kentucky Fried Chicken is never crunchy anymore. No wonder you're so agitated.
That's the reason I hate Iowa 7.
Yeah, that's why you hate Iowa 7. Your chicken's damp.
Please tell me you recorded that.
Hello! Welcome to the Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Aaron Elijah, and we have such a special treat for you guys that listen to the show. For the first time ever in Cultcast history, we have a lady joining us. Welcome.
What?
I like to call her Chrissy B, but she asked me not to do that, so we'll go by Christina Bonington. Wired writer.
Chrissy B's fine.
Chrissy B's okay. Oh, okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. It just has such a nice ring to it. Welcome to the show for the first time. The first female ever on the Cultcast.
That's so exciting. I'm so excited to be the first female on here.
And with an audience of probably, I'm going to go ahead and guess 99.5% male.
1% soccer mom.
1% soccer moms, and that's not a joke. I know we have some lovely ladies that join us as well, so they're going to love hearing from a female point of view on this show. And speaking of females, we've also got Alex Excelsior Heath.
Hey! Oh, man.
Who's definitely manly.
Last time I
checked. Even when he wears those very, very nice hipster tank tops that you like to wear.
Yeah.
We're joined by Buster Heine. Buster?
Hey, man.
Hey! Welcome back to the show. I just want to put this out there right off the bat. If you missed our iOS 7, well, let me back up, our WWDC episode. We did a special episode on Tuesday. And so as we're talking about all this iOS 7 stuff and other news items of the week, if you're like, hey, why aren't they covering WWDC? That's because we released a special episode that was, I think like an hour long. We went through everything they talked about pretty much. And covered all that good stuff. So if you missed that, definitely go back and check that out. It's available on iTunes. You could probably find it on Cult of Mac and stream it. Also want to mention, we have a brand new sponsor. So excited to introduce you to. You've actually probably heard of them. They're Shutterstock.com. And you probably know them if you've heard of them for their stock images, of which they have like a zillion. But did you know they also do high-quality video clips? They have about 700,000 high-quality video clips so that you could use in your productions. They have HD and SD available. So if you are a filmmaker, I know we have a lot of creative folks that listen to the show. If you're a filmmaker, you're looking for maybe a chipmunk climbing a tree. Maybe you need a video of an angry bus driver. sky's the limit. I mean, there's so many options. Over 700,000 high-quality videos. Check them out, Shutterstock.com. We'll tell you a little bit more about them later in the show, and also how you could save 30% off your first order with them. Christina, so happy to have you here. I know I said that like twice already, but for multiple reasons, one being that we've been meaning to have you on the show forever, and you were able to join us last minute, which is great, but also because you were actually at the keynote at WWDC. You got to see Craig Federighi's hair in person, that luscious mane that he has. Mm-hmm. And also you got to see Tim Cookie looking sly up there on stage. What was it like just being there? I mean, I know you've been to keynotes before. What was this one like?
Yeah, so the energy for this one was really good. I mean, so I kind of don't know how many I've been to at this point, but everyone seemed super pumped, like that was on stage this year, and super excited. And that, you know, with, you know, thousands of developers in the audience, like, you know, I could tell they were just like feeding off everyone's, you know, positive vibes and energy and stuff. And, you know, for the most part, you know, the presentation went really well. You know, I thought kind of, they did like kind of stumble over their words a little bit more in this one than they have in the past. Which I thought was a little interesting, but, no, it was fun. And then, there were, you know, for me, I was live blogging from the audience, and, there were some Wi-Fi issues, which was also kind of unusual at the beginning. And so, you know, that's a little stressful when you're trying to type out everything that's happening
and
nothing can connect to the internet, and you're like, oh God.
I probably mentioned this earlier, but if I didn't, I should mention it now. So you write for Wired.
Yes.
And you've been with Wired for a while now, right?
Yeah, I've been here for 2.5 years now.
Wow, okay. And you also do their Gadget Lab podcast, which is great if you haven't listened to that. It's really fun. It's a video podcast. It's also audio too, right?
Yes, yeah.
And you've been to, was it other keynotes via Wired, or was it some other like place that you worked at before? Because I know you saw one with Steve Jobs, didn't you?
Yeah, I let's see. I believe the first one I went to was the iPhone 4S keynote, which was Tim Cook's first one.
Oh,
yeah. So I did not get to see the Steve Jobs in person. I was at Gizmodo before I was at Wired.
Oh, you were?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, but I've all the keynotes I've been to have been through Wired.
Cool.
Yeah.
And so your thoughts, we had, as I mentioned, a huge episode on Tuesday where we covered iOS 7 and some of the other things from WWDC. What was your impression of iOS 7, and what was your other maybe like favorite thing that you saw at the keynote?
So I was really excited about iOS 7, like, afterwards. I think I was, like, really nerding out on Twitter, like, oh, my God, oh, my God.
So you like the way it looks?
I do. So it reminds me a lot of Windows Phone 8, and which I really liked. Okay. So I've used, you know, Windows phones on and off in addition to my iPhone, you know, over the past few years. And, you know, a lot of the design aspects of that kind of seems similar in iOS 7, you know, I guess, you know, the flat design and then some of like, you know, the geometric, you know, just kind of simple shapes and stuff, and using circles a lot as a design element as well. You know, I kind of dig, and I thought, you know, a lot of the things that they're implementing in iOS 7 are, you know, things that I've been, you know, wanting for a while. And, let's see, now I'm trying to think of something and I'm totally blanking out.
Well, let me ask you this. How was it when we started the last episode with the audio of Phyllis Schiller introducing the Mac Pro?
Yeah.
And I forget who said this on Twitter. Somebody who was there said it was like being in a Bruce Springsteen concert. Like, people were just like getting rowdy. They were pushing each other, cheering. And that's what it seemed like. I mean, when he introduced it, people just seemed to lose it.
Yeah. So people were super excited for the Mac Pro, and in general, like, you know, I think Tim Cook came on stage towards the end and said, like, you know, blah, 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 we love iOS 7. And someone shouted back, we love you, Tim Cook. Like, just in general, it was just like the audience was just like radiating adoration and just like, you know, super excited about like everything. I think the only thing that was like, really, you could tell people weren't excited about was when they introduced iTunes Radio, and it was US only. It was just like crickets.
Really? I thought you were going to say iWork online.
Yeah, I thought the iWork one was the most boring part.
Yeah. I think maybe there's less response to that, but like the US only iTunes Radio was.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I was going to say, if ever there was a time where the Wi-Fi started working again, it would have been right when they started announcing iWork. And you're like, whoa, the Wi-Fi came back on. All of a sudden, it's like working perfectly, full speed. So you said you've been using iRadio. Should we call it iRadio? I don't even know. It's not. It's actually iTunes Radio.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm sure, you know, we can, you know, iRadio, whatever. It's not out yet.
But you said you've been using it. I thought
no. You haven't.
Okay.
Yeah, no, just when they announced it on Monday.
Gotcha. Alex, were you going to say something?
No, I was just going to ask Christina. You had said that everybody seemed more jazz, and like the Apple execs seemed really jazz and stuff. And something I've been reading is that they seemed more comfortable generally than like previous. I know, especially with like Craig, and he hasn't presented a lot, and this definitely seemed like his like shining moment. Like, would you say that the people on stage were generally more relaxed and kind of more comfortable? Kind of, I mean, a lot of people have said that this is the first like truly post Jobs keynote, in a sense. Like, Apple's really finding its own identity after Jobs, especially with this keynote.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. I would definitely agree that everyone seemed a lot more comfortable on stage, especially Craig. Like he would like, you know, people would, you know, call out stuff from the audience and he would respond on the fly. Like he seems like he's probably like a genuinely cool and funny dude to hang out with. You know, I don't know about, you know, maybe I'm sure he's like, you know, as a boss, you know, at Apple, yeah. like, you know, probably kind of tough, yeah. but, you know, he seems like he'd be pretty funny also.
Apparently, I read a Wall Street Journal profile on him this morning, and apparently he's known kind of as the workaholic within Apple. Like, he's really quick to respond to emails and stuff, but he kind of declines, like, you want to hang out at this party or whatever, or beer bash or whatever, because he always says he needs to work.
Yeah.
Which is funny, but yeah.
At the wild parties at Tim Cook's house. He hasn't been to one of those yet. We'll do the keg stands, and he just wants Craig to come hang out, be part of the team.
Come on, Craig.
I made you an apple teeny. Hey, I want to read some of these responses from our Twitter followers and our Facebook friends. By the way, facebook.com/thecultcast if you're interested in giving us your feedback there and just recommending stuff for the show. So I asked people on Twitter, people on Facebook, what they thought about Iowa 7 specifically, because Christina, Alex wasn't so thrilled.
Yeah,
is that a fair assessment, Alex?
Yeah.
What are you gonna say, Christina?
Oh, so I was remembering a few things that I wasn't quite as pleased about, but I'll let Alex share, you know.
Oh, I'm sure he'd be thrilled.
No, I've shared
a lot. We had to stop him from sharing so much. I haven't installed it yet. Have you installed the beta yet, Christina?
I have not. Okay. Not yet.
Because I actually use my phone to like do production for the show and stuff. I'm a little worried that it's going to break some stuff. So,
but yeah, I might go out and get an iPod Touch for that.
That's actually a great idea.
It's been really stable on my iPhone 5, especially for like a first beta. Like it's only crashed. It's crashed 3 times in the past 2 days, mm-hmm. which for me, for a beta is really good. And the crashes are so quick that you don't even really notice. Like it takes probably 4 or 5 seconds to reboot. And it's been pretty stable. I mean, the only problems I have is that it's so dumb to use. But
every time you use it. Okay. Let's read some of these responses. So this one comes from Facebook. Darcy O'Loughlin says, I love how it looks. It's like my Nexus 7. I was going to switch to Android, but now I don't have to. Charles Roberts, we have some really funny listeners. Charles Roberts says, seriously, I think it combines the genius of Apple, I can't even say it, iOS, with some of the better aspects of Jelly Bean. This is a comparison we've been hearing a lot.
Yeah.
Frankly, that works for me. He says, okay, Devin Carlisto says, by far Control Center. Oh, by the way, I asked them what one feature was that they really liked, so those are going to be worked in here too. The parallax is pretty cool. I just like saying that word.
Yeah.
Parallax just makes it sound cool. AirDrop is welcomed. Jeremy Gonis says, iOS 7 on my phone doesn't look anywhere close to the keynote demo. It looks way flat and kind of like Fisher Price feeling. There you go, Alex.
Yeah.
Colton Haas says, toggles! OMG, they finally added toggles. Hey! Chris Forrest Mac Daddy. You guys remember Chris, right? Chris, congratulations on your baby. Ars Technica writer, previously with Ars Technica. Chris, we used to have him on the show. I would love to have him back on. He said, iCloud keychain is at the top of my list. I know it's ridiculous, but I also really like the parallax effect on the home screen. Alex, yeah. Is that something that you've actually really enjoyed so far?
I'm not even lying. Like while you've been reading this and you said the word parallax, I like started looking at it. I've been like tilting my iPhone trying to get it. And then I think for like the first time I'm actually seeing what they're talking about. But it's way more subtle than
it's very subtle. Yeah.
It's super subtle, but you can act like even with the Instagram icon, it actually gives it some weird 3D.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird. Yeah. It's kind of trippy.
It is trippy.
Sorry.
Oh, and then the panoramic wallpapers now.
Yeah, I haven't tried that.
Yeah, I've seen a vine of that, and that looks super cool.
Wait, can you describe that to me? Cool? Can you describe that to me and our listeners? I'm not sure what you mean.
You can set your wallpaper as a panoramic image, and then when you move your phone around, it will like kind of like scan like the panorama.
What?
Yeah. So you can spin around in a chair and just keep like going around.
That's
because that's what
cool.
I'm going to do with my iPhone all day long.
Well. You just ruined Christina's productivity for tomorrow.
I'm using one of Apple's like Android-like animated wallpapers right now.
I like it. Do you
like
it?
The bubbles. I like them, yeah. They're just, it's super Android-y.
It feels just like Android. Like the whole time, I used one yesterday, and I was like, yeah, this feels just like a Jelly Bean phone.
Let's see here. Oh, okay. We got Seth Price. He says, I'm enjoying iTunes Radio and multi-page app folders so far. Is iTunes Radio working? I thought it wasn't.
Yeah, it works.
Oh, okay, you guys just haven't been using it very much.
Oh, yeah. I guess I'm still using RDO.
Yeah.
I don't use Control Center as much as I thought I would. I think that's my new favorite feature, just from what I've seen, is just that you can like toggle up and bring up all those like controls that you use all the time that you have to dig through menu items to use. I mean, currently. Yeah. Oh, this is my favorite one, and we'll wrap up with this one. This one comes from at Chigs, and he says, the new alarm tone with Tim Cook's voice in the morning, where you set it, and it wakes up and says, morning, y'all.
Oh, that, my God, no way. I had not heard about that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is amazing.
That's the one that... God, that's like a covert feature. Yeah. That's amazing. We should do a cult cast ringtone pack.
Yeah, we should.
Where it's like alarm sounds that people could use.
That would be brilliant.
That actually would be pretty cool, right?
You need charge for that.
We can invite on all our celebrity guests to do our cult cast stuff and record it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're down.
Why do we not get Waz to do like a loop for us when he was on?
Well, we might have asked, but
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, he freight trained us. Let's be honest, he freight trained us. He's a talkative man. He was kind of hard to
pin down.
Yeah, to pin down with questions. Although fantastic having him on. I mean, it was great. Hey, actually, you know what, guys? Let's take a quick break. And when we get back, Alex, we have so many great stories to talk about today. You had a really interesting story that you wanted to bring up about how the Apple icons that are on the new iOS 7 screens that you're seeing weren't actually made by the Apple designers.
Well, yeah, I want to talk about that more. Okay. I think there's more to it.
I think that's really fascinating. So stick with us, have a sip of your Apple teeny, and we will be right back. Okay, right back. Hey guys, Irfan Elijah here, and I'm so excited to tell you about our new sponsor, Shutterstock.com. If you are somebody that makes websites, advertisements, multimedia presentations, maybe you're a filmmaker and you make film projects, because that's what they do, you definitely need to know about Shutterstock. No, they don't just do stock images. They also have over 700,000 high-quality stock video clips, 2D animations, 3D motion graphics, and they have clips in a variety of digital formats, and most come in HD. Can you believe it? Okay, I can tell you're like, Fun, tell me more. Well, did you know Shutterstock sources their video clips from around the world? Yes, many of the contributors to Shutterstock are actually professional filmmakers, so they know the kinds of video creators actually want to use in their film projects. Another cool tidbit, you might go look through all 700,000 items and be like, hey, I didn't find what I was looking for. Well, Shutterstock is adding over 10,000 video clips each and every week, so every time you visit, you're going to find something new. And of course, Shutterstock has a ton of sophisticated tools that you can use to drill down and actually find the clips that you're looking for. And when you're ready, you can buy a single clip or an entire package of clips, and that's where the cult cast comes in. Here's what you should do. Head over to Shutterstock.com, sign up for a free account. They don't even need your credit card. Find some video clips that you like, and when you find the ones that you want to put in your project, enter the code CULTCAST6, that's CULTCAST, the number 6, and you'll save 30% off your order with your new accounts. 30%! So if you're somebody that makes advertisements, film projects, marketing presentations, definitely go check out Shutterstock.com. They're one of the premier places on the web to get your high quality stock video clips. Head over to Shutterstock.com and remember the code is CULTCAST and the number 6. No spaces. Alright, you guys ready? Let's just start it right back up. Hey, remember when I started the show on Tuesday and I wasn't recording? This is way less worse than that. Okay. And we're back! Welcome back to the Cult Cast, everyone. Alex, you were saying?
Oh, yeah.
Alex, apparently I accidentally said we were back and Alex was just talking and talking. And I was like, dude, wait till we get back in the show. And
let's, so back now, do I
now we're actually back. So
you sure?
Can you regurgitate all that stuff that you just said? And just,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So, so we're talking about iOS 7's icons.
Kind of.
Okay.
I don't think the icons are the story. Cause
I'm not going to put any words in your mouth.
Well, okay. So there was this report on the NextWeb that basically it said that Apple's own designers didn't design the icons in iOS 7, that Johnny Ive put the marketing team in charge of it because he wanted fresh eyes on the whole
fresh
thing.
Fresh blood.
Fresh blood. And
it was like the marketing and print team, right?
Yeah.
Or the web team and the print team.
Right. And been look, you know, chatting on Twitter, and there seems to be some, I don't know, some different opinions on that. Like Mark Gurman, who has really good sources at Apple, doesn't seem to necessarily agree with that particular tidbit. So I'm not putting it. I don't really think that's the story. I think the story in the NextWeb's report was saying that iOS 7 is really still a work in progress in Apple's eyes. Like the design team hasn't slowed down now that it's been announced. Like they're still very much retooling the interface and working on things. Mm-hmm. So in the past, you know, iOS betas really haven't changed that much. Like Apple will introduce new features, but by the time it ships to the public a few months later, it's still pretty much the same. And apparently iOS 7 is going to be actually pretty different. It's going to evolve quite a bit as the beta goes on, which I think makes sense because I think there's a lot of inconsistencies. And apparently there were a lot of inconsistencies within Apple when they were designing it. And there were different teams working on different things that weren't necessarily talking with one another. Like somebody was designing the Mail app and then somebody else was designing the Safari app. And they didn't actually get to collaborate and kind of unify their designs before it was all packaged together. And that actually sounds like the old Apple. It doesn't sound like what Apple is trying to do when they pushed Forrestal out and kind of made everything more collaborative.
Yeah, I thought the whole point of bringing Johnny Ive in to do this was that everything was supposed to become more unified.
Well, also, I think you got to consider time restraints, right? Because they had like maybe 6 months, maybe, to put this together when Forrestal left, assuming maybe they had started before, but I'm sure Johnny Ive wanted to scrap everything when he came in. And so they had maybe 6 months to do this, and then you've got, you know, Craig Federighi, who's not even really a software guy. I mean, he worked in enterprise and he's not really a software guy. So you've got a guy that's not super familiar with software. And then you've got Ive, who's been doing hardware, given 6 months to create iOS 7. And I think, I mean, I don't know what more you could expect. So apparently I think the essence of the story is that iOS 7 will evolve quite a bit and hopefully be a lot more unified and make a lot more sense overall when it ships.
That's actually, I think that part of the criticism that I've heard is that some of the pieces feel disconnected is probably one of the most valid pieces of criticism that I've heard. I mean, you can like or not like the new graphical interface, right? I mean, that's subjective, I think. Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of people that I've heard say that it doesn't feel connected like it used to. So yeah. I would imagine those would be the things that they're going to clean up. They have quite a bit of time.
Buster? You agree, don't you, Buster?
Yeah, no, there is definitely a lot of stuff that feels like Reminders app feels really weird. So does Game Center. A lot of apps just kind of feel really, you know, unfinished. So that's very encouraging, like Alex said.
That Game Center icon.
It's weird, man. Please. I don't understand. Every other icon has thing. Like flat surfaces and everything like that. Yeah. And that
it looks like a
spears.
Teletubby puked onto a white canvas.
It's closest to the Photos app, I would say, but even then it's not that close.
No, because, the Photos app, it's like the surfaces are still flat.
Yeah.
You know?
But it doesn't, why would the Game Center app look so close to the Photos app in the first place? Like, they're completely different.
Yeah.
I mean, other than sharing, a similar design philosophy, you know, if all the apps, shared that rainbowness.
And then when you use the Game Center app and, all the bubbles, I don't know, it's just
that app is terrible.
It's just
a really stupid
concept, man.
Yeah, I get the concept. Weird. It's the colors and, the shapes. And actually, going back to what you were just talking about, Alex, I was reading in your article that I guess the color palette and stuff and kind of some of the design direction as far as the icons and stuff had been decided by the same print and web teams. And that seems really curious to me that Johnny Ive would release that. I mean, he must really trust his team, obviously. They probably have excellent teams working on this.
I'm sure everybody has design backgrounds and everybody. It's not like they're not designers, but at the same time, I don't know. I mean, he just wanted fresh eyes on it, I guess. He wanted something really radically different, and that's what he got. But at the same time, it just feels like a smorgasbord of just like random ideas that were thrown together. And there's just so many weird like little, like Buster, have you noticed when a new text comes in, there's like this weird spacing between the text and then the like close and reply button. Like it's little things like that I'm like, why is there that blank space there? Like it doesn't do anything. It's just kind of, there's so many like blank spaces and like button placements that I just don't understand and don't seem very intuitive. And overall, I would say this is the least intuitive piece of software I've ever seen Apple make, at least in like the last, you know, 8 years.
Wow.
So hopefully they're going to clean it up quite a bit.
Well, they've got months. I mean, who knows? They'll probably release this in, what do you think, October? I mean, they said fall. It could be even November.
I'm guessing by September, man.
September or October, yeah. Whenever the new iPhone comes out.
Yeah,
yeah. Exactly. So they've got
maybe
months.
Maybe like early October.
That's kind of what I'm thinking too, because they're probably going to release new iPhones right before the holidays start, right? So, and then they'll release iOS 7 before that. I'm excited, and you know, reading the feedback from our listeners, it's interesting. There really is a big mix of people. Some people really don't like it. Some people, and I would say probably half don't like it, and the other half really do, and they're really excited about the new direction. Even though it may not be perfect, they're just happy to see Apple pursuing a new direction. So if anything, iOS 7 is, I mean, it's divisive, right? I mean,
yeah, polarizing.
It's very polarizing. I haven't met anyone who's like, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah,
it's okay. Yeah.
No, it's very, very different. And I think I read something, I think it was Marco Arment or somebody had a really neat thought that for developers, this really means that it gives them a chance to completely rethink apps and how apps look and how they work. And a new developer can have a chance to come into iOS 7 with a new app that's, you know, built from the ground up for iOS 7, whereas iOS 6 developers kind of have to go back to the drawing board and it may take more time and stuff. So I think it gives a new opportunity for new developers to say, hey, our platform is changing, it's evolving, you know, hop on. So I think we could see some really cool apps come out of it, but I just don't want everything to be flat. You know, I just don't want everything to lose its character, to lose its depth. And that's what
I'm a little worried about that too, but I always try to keep in mind this is brand new for Apple, and they really are doing something drastic, and it's probably going to take a couple years for them to work out a lot of these quirks. Well, I'll tell you what, though, what were you going to say, Alex?
I was just, in a year we'll have iOS 8, so I would think that iOS 8 would be really good because they will have had a year to kind of define this new design language, and then they'll kind of have their act together.
I do like the Steve Jobs glasses icon. I don't know if anyone caught this. I think, Buster, this was your story, that they put into the add to reading list. There's a pair of glasses that are basically Steve Jobs glasses. That was a heartfelt tribute.
Yeah.
They really touched me. What's that?
Sure. They're full of those, you know?
I thought you said they're full of it. I was like, dude, don't communicate that. Let's talk about some other Apple-related news, because this is our second cult cast, and we're still talking about iOS 7 this week. It's only been 48 hours since our last episode. Alex, you had mentioned that there was a new spec that was released, or the Apple released developers for a gaming controller for Apple for iOS devices.
Mm-hmm.
And my immediate reaction was, it's kind of boring, but you actually convinced me that we should talk about it because you thought there was an interesting story there.
No, I just think it's
no
cool
pressure.
I just think it's cool that we could see some hardware controllers that are kind of created for iOS games, you know, some because there's some iOS games that I would honestly want to like think about, like Call of Duty. If you had like a physical console like controller that you could play iOS Call of Duty on, stuff like that, I think could be really cool. So they're giving developers a way to kind of do an official, legit hardware controller, which is, I think it's cool. I mean, do you guys not think it's cool?
I think, I think that'd be cool. I mean, I feel like some of the, like, there are some, like, hardware controllers right now, but they're all kind of janky.
Yeah.
I've tried. Like, you know, there's the ones where you can stick your iPad in and it makes it kind of like an arcade game with a joystick and stuff. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's okay, but, you know, it'd be nice, you know, to have it, like, a standardized set of, like, controls and stuff that you know, you can use with a whole bunch of different games that, you know, doesn't suck.
Yeah, they're janky because Apple hasn't really opened up the SDK yet. They're kind of using workarounds. And so once there's like an official API, I think we could see some cool stuff. And then it extends to the Apple TV, you know. You start mirroring games on the Apple TV, and then you got a little makeshift console for the living room.
Definitely.
So there are controllers that exist now, but you think they're going to become... I guess then Apple's actually like releasing, are they going to be releasing an API that developers can use? Okay. And not just like the specs on here's what your controller looks like and how it will interact with.
They're including it in the made for iOS program, which is what, you know, it's what hardware accessory makers have to go through to get, like, if Belkin wanted to make an iPhone charger. So it's the same type of thing, except now for controllers as well.
Got it. Dare we venture into the whole video game chatter that's happening this week, if only for a moment.
What's happening? I don't even know.
What's going on?
There's something else besides WWDC?
Yeah.
There's this little thing happening called E3. I don't know if you guys have heard of it, where two very big video game competitors are going head-to-head. And, man, there's a lot of... I was going to say a lot of hate going around. There's just a lot of really passionate people arguing about video games this week. I don't know. Are any of you guys, besides Buster, who's an avid gamer, Christina, do you play games?
You know, I'll go through like spurts. But yeah, I haven't been for a while.
Okay.
I did a lot, you know, back when I had an N64.
That was a classic system.
I know.
Alex.
I actually bought one on eBay.
Recently?
Yeah.
That was a good purchase. Nice.
That's
a good
purchase. It was a bargain. Yeah. I need to hook it up.
What games did you get?
So it came with a whole bunch, but I really want to play like GoldenEye and Diddy Kong Racing and Mario Party. Yeah.
Mario Kart.
Yes.
GoldenEye. I used to play GoldenEye so much that I would know where the spawn points were, because that game had like set spawn points, and I would know the imaginary spot on the floor that you couldn't cross so that the person would still appear there. Because, you know, like when you cross that like line, the spawn points change.
Mm-hmm.
I love that game so much. I should get that game as well. So I guess we can't talk anymore about video games. Because some people ask me, they're like, you guys should talk about Xbox and PlayStation. Maybe we could do that after the show, but probably not, because none of you guys actually really care.
Yeah, sorry, dude.
That's okay. I forgive you. Let's talk about the MySpace app, Christina. You were saying how excited you were for this, and that finally your favorite social network was releasing an iOS app. I'm basically quoting you. That's what you said, right?
Yeah, pretty much. No, I think it's super, like, you know, MySpace is... you know, disappeared for the past few years. They put out a new website that's been in beta for a couple of months, but now it's out of beta, and they've also released an iOS app to go along with it. And it's just so weird, you know, we've already got all these other social networks, you know, Twitter and Facebook and Pinterest and Path and 100,000 others, and now MySpace is rejoining the game. Their app looks nice and stuff.
Are they?
You know, they're trying. They're trying. And they're making a good effort.
Okay, definitely. So you're liking what you're seeing so far.
Yeah, I just don't know if I have the bandwidth for another social network, though. And and then, you know, MySpace. I don't know.
They have Justin Timberlake, and that's all it takes to get me.
Is he an investor? Yeah.
He's like, I don't know. He's creative.
Doesn't he like run it or something? Yeah.
He's like what Alicia Keys is to BlackBerry.
Yeah.
Isn't like there's some weird celebrity partnerships happening out
Will
there.
Will I Am runs Intel.
Yeah, that's right. I think Balki Bartokomis is working for AMD. And,
I don't even know who that is.
Somebody out there just lulled. That's all I gotta say. That was a great reference. I reached deep for that one. Do you guys remember Perfect Strangers, the show Perfect Strangers?
No.
Nobody? Oh no. My goodness.
Too young, man.
You guys aren't that young. What do you mean, dude? I'm 25. I remember it.
Is she like 40?
I'm 46, but you know. I totally lost my train of thought.
Funny.
What's that?
I'm looking at the show, like the artwork for it. It looks funny.
you're looking at the Perfect Strangers artwork.
Yeah, man.
I just reached. I think I just reached back into 1987. I'm not even joking.
Yeah, it says. Were you
born yet?
In 1987.
Yeah.
Sadly, yes. I had already been on Earth 30 years. Although, if you think about it, Leander had been here for. Yeah.
You're almost as old as him.
I think he's like almost 90. Yeah. Speaking of which, we should probably bring up one of our regular cult casts. I don't know, co-hosts. I don't even know what to call Leander. Brother, one of our regular cult cast brothers. How about that? He couldn't join. People have been asking where he is. And he went to New Orleans this week. So he didn't quite say what he was going to be doing down there. He made a comment about earning beads. But that's all he said. And he really is down there. So if you see a very British man walking around in a powdered wig, it's probably him. Or it might be a street performer.
A Johnny Ive book in his hand. Yeah,
That has scribble, like red scribbles all over it. He's weeping constantly. It's probably Leander. I don't know, guys. What else? Anything else that you guys think that we should talk about before we wrap up here? I think that kind of covers everything that I had on the old list.
Do you want to talk about the genius thing real quick? Or?
Oh, actually, yeah, that's great. Let's wrap up with that. Yeah, let's go. So, teach us.
The iOS 7 App Store, they killed the genius app recommendations. Quietly. And instead it's called Near Me. And so it's show apps that are near your current location. So I don't.
Sorry. It's going to show apps that are near your current location.
Well, like apps that are like popular near where you're like, at. So like if you're in San Francisco, like you'll probably get like a lot of apps, I would guess.
Grindr.
Oh gosh.
No, like if you're in NYC, you'd get like a bunch of transit apps or something like that. You know, like it's supposed to be to help localize your search, but it's weird. It doesn't work right now in iOS 7, at least not for me.
Yeah, mine always says there are no apps for your current location.
And it's, I don't know, they put it front and center. I mean, it's the middle, you know, button in the App Store, which you would think is where the focus would go towards, and it's just near me. It's not.
That is very odd.
Yeah. I mean, they bought that company Chomp a while back that did app recommendations, and I was assuming that's what they were using Genius, you know, that's how they were powering Genius, but I guess they're just translating that to this.
No, they had Genius before that, right? Well, not for apps,
I thought they're after they got, you know, maybe like a month or two after they got Chomp, it seemed like their search results got better than they were before.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
I feel like their searches sucked, honestly.
It sucked less. Yeah.
Yeah, the discovery on the iOS App Store is not good. It really is not good. I mean, especially if your app isn't popular and someone searches for something and it just shows you those big images that you have to thumb through, right?
Yeah.
That just seems like a really poor way to discover or even to search, really.
Mm-hmm.
I think I liked the old way better.
I don't really like it that much. Oh, I had this idea, Irfan, before we closed, real quick. Can everyone go around and say one thing they wish Apple would have added or changed in iOS 7 that they didn't?
I'm going to say something that they did change that I actually discovered that I'm psyched about.
But that's not the point.
Yeah, I know. But everyone else can do yours, too.
Okay.
Alex, why don't you go first? Lead us.
Well, the two main things for me were I wanted like quick reply for texting, like what they have in Mavericks on iOS 10, where you can like respond to it right there and you don't have to go into the app. I don't know why they didn't do that. And also like inter-app communication, like how apps talk to each other. I really thought they were going to do something smarter. Like, so I don't have to save a photo 7 times to my camera roll from 7 different apps before I upload it to Instagram.
But that's like a fun game.
So I really wanted them to open it up so that apps could talk to each other better, and they didn't, which is unfortunate. But that's
Buster,
me.
What you got?
I don't have I don't really have any. Oh, I wish they built this because I don't really think about that stuff.
Fanboy.
It's perfect
fanboy.
As is. I
it's
can't
so
think of
perfect,
anything else.
Man.
Fanboy.
I wish they wouldn't have made the icon so ugly. And I
that's a valid point. I wish they actually hadn't made iOS 7, honestly. Can we just stick with iOS 6? Christina, what do you think?
So I wish that they had offered some different lock screen options as far as like passwords go. Like
that's actually a great point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I think Android has some creative solutions to that and stuff. And I think there's a whole bunch of other things that could be done as well. Yeah. So I wish, you know, instead of like, you know, a four number passcode, that there was some other solution we could use.
Like while they're taking from Android, they could do gesture unlocking, which yeah. would be nice.
Yeah. Maybe I just hold my phone and I just wave it in a certain pattern. Like maybe that would be good, but then I'd be unlocking and unlocking my phone all the time. Cause I tend to be waving my phone around in people's faces all the time.
What about tongue recognition?
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
Just lick it.
That's great.
Didn't Steve Jobs call it more lickable one time?
I don't think he was talking. Was he talking about the iPhone?
Yeah, he was. He was talking about the software. He was it's lookable.
Oh yeah.
Lick them or something.
I think Mac. It was Mac software. Yeah. It was one of the. Yeah.
It was the UI for I cannot believe I'm spacing out. What was it called? When they introduced all the blue bars and everything, I'm totally spacing out. You guys got nothing
Aqua?
For me?
I'm Googling
yes.
Steve.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was it.
It was Aqua.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Thank you. Doi. Okay, so here's mine. Alex, I'm going to break your rule, but you did too because you had two things and not just one, so I feel justified. I was really psyched when I found out there was a feature that I wanted that I'm positive now that Tim Cook listens to this show because it got added, and that was the, I think they're calling it the photo moments feature. Now correct mm-hmm. me if I'm wrong here, because I'm not sure if that's what
right.
it's called.
Yeah, it is.
But whenever I do photography, right? And when I'm doing like location discovery, sometimes I'll just take a picture with my iPhone. But my problem is I always have to remember where that was, and I never can. You know, like you look at a picture and you're like, where was this? I don't even know where I took this. So the moments feature lets you view photos by date and also by location, which was a feature I was like, they should totally build this in because you should be able to look at a map. And I don't know if you can do this. I don't know if you guys can confirm if this is the way it works because I haven't actually used it personally. But mm-hmm. can you look at a map and like pull up locations and have the phone show you photos that you took in those locations? Do you guys know?
On Instagram's Instagram's map thing. They don't have one like that, I don't think.
Oh.
It's not, at least yeah. I don't see that.
I actually don't like the way they implemented that in the Photos app. I think the Photos app is really cluttered looking. I'm serious though.
I know you are.
No, here's the deal. So I'm at the doctor yesterday afternoon and he shows me his HTC One and he's uh-huh. like telling me why he loves it. And he shows me his photo, his like camera roll. Uh-huh. And it was great. It was like yeah. beautifully designed. It was like big tiles and like videos would like start playing in them as you scrolled to mm-hmm. like show you what videos you had in there. And like it was really visual and really like interesting. And it made you just want to sit there and look at your stuff. And this is like, I don't know, you just have to look at screenshots. But I think it's really, I don't think it's as good. I don't think it's as good as Android. I never thought I would say that, but I just did.
Wait, you mean the Photos app?
Yeah.
Gotcha. Well, you know, I mean, not everything that Apple does is going to be as good as the stuff that's on Android. I think I personally think that as a whole, and I think we all probably all would agree that it is better.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are certain features on certain phones that you're like, ooh, I wish they would bring that to iOS. Like, why can't they steal that feature and mm-hmm. claim that they were original in creating it?
Right.
Okay, cool. Let's wrap up there. That's all the Cultcast we have for you guys this week. I want to thank Shutterstock for sponsoring the show. Welcome to the Cultcast family, Shutterstock. And if you guys are interested, if you're videographers, if you make videos, definitely check out Shutterstock. Head over to Shutterstock.com. Sign up for a free account. They don't even need your credit card number. And if you use the code CULTCAST6, no spaces, that's the number 6 at the end, you can save 30% off your first order with them. I want to thank Red Girl Says, Christina Bonington, Chrissy B, for being on the show. Our first female. So great having you on. Will you come back?
Yes, absolutely.
Every week from here on out? Perfect.
Totally.
Thank you. It was great to have you. And of course, if you guys want to follow Christina, she is at Red Girl Says on Twitter. Buster's BST3R. Alex is Alex E. Heath. I'm at Airfon, of course, for all the best news, reviews, and how-tos in the world of Apple. Make sure you're following Cult of Mac, especially with all the great iOS stuff that we're putting out these days. This has been The Cult Cast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of The Cult Cast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we will see you guys, Buster, take it,
next time.
Wow.
That's so gruff.
That's so guttural.
Yeah. Ooh, I just got goosebumps.
It's like Braveheart.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, like a Braveheart.
Hey, I changed my Twitter avatar to that sea lion.
I
really, you know, honestly, I would not have minded. I would not have minded if that was actually real, because that thing is adorable.
I know, they could totally go like lion in the sea direction, so like sea lion, lion fish.
Yeah,
you could do like tiger shark.
Oh
yeah.
What else?
Is OS trout,
leopard shark,
tiger trout,
tiger trout. OS blowfish.
Uh-huh.
There's so many majestic. There's so many. It's just like the whole circle is just the fish because it's inflated.
If it was the ocean, they would have unlimited OS killer whale.
Yeah. Oh yeah. There's so many noble creatures that they could have used. I'm not even joking right now, which is the funny thing. Like, there's so many like noble sea creatures that they.
Dude, an
used.
OS 10 stingray sounds.
Oh, awesome. Have you installed OS barnacle? Because I'm stuck on it.
OS 10 Guppy.
OS 10 Guppy is a radical advance in OS technology. Oh, as long as we're doing post-show, I just want to apologize to everyone.